final Sunday in the series Abide. Also in your bulletin, there is a layout of how things are going to work while I'm in Costa Rica. So next Sunday is Pastor Curtis, the following Sunday is Pastor Mike preaching, and then it tells you in there how to get a hold of Kanani during hours that she's not in the office. It tells you how to get a hold of the board. There's an email address there if you need to contact them for anything. Jeff McCall is going to be coming over here to check the parking lot while I'm gone to make sure that if it's too crazy, like today is one of those crazy days where part of it was frozen, part of it wasn't, so we thought we would just try it and see. So if it's worse than what it is today, chances are we won't have church, but we're praying the snowstorms happen in the middle of the week so kids don't have school, but we still have church, right? Right. Now, we want all the kids to go to school, get them educated. So anyway, that's just kind of filling you in on how everything's going to work while I'm gone. And I'm just praying that when I come home, everything is at peace. And everybody is ready to worship the Lord even that much more. Well, let's go ahead and look at scripture today. From the King James Version, we're looking at John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And we learned in that first week that the word abide in this portion of scripture means to stay put. But not just stay put, sit still, but stay put, but anticipating what's to come. I shared the story of being a child at Target, and my parents were Christmas shopping for me, but I was seated on a bench in the front of the store. This is back in the day when, you know, if somebody saw a flock of children, they didn't try to take one. And so my mom sat all five of us down there in the front bench of the old Target up on the north side, and she said, don't move. And so for an hour while they went Christmas shopping, we sat and we didn't move. Now, I can't sit still for that long, even today. And so I was so anticipating what they were buying that I went and found them. I spied on them while I was looking for the bathroom. I knew where it was, but anyway. But I was anticipating, and that's the same thing here, is to abide means to take up residence and stay, but anticipating the move. Anticipating that wherever the Lord is taking us and staying put. Digging our roots deep, having our foundation in Him, but holding on. Remaining. If you remember, we looked at the word remain as well. Remaining is having the expectation. It's avoiding distractions. It's keeping our eyes firmly on Jesus as the center of our lives and finding ourselves in the center of His will. It is a state of trust in Him and then a strengthening from Him in us. So it's not just us trusting in Him, but Him strengthening us as we stay in Him, as we abide. This comes from Isaiah 40:31 from the New American Standard. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So as we abide, as we wait on the Lord, and if you remember, we looked at two different kinds of waiting. There was the Martha way and the Mary way. They both were waiting on Jesus, but very different ways. Mary was waiting on the words of Jesus. Like I imagine it like my dog sits right next to my chair when Alex eats, or right next to Alex's chair when he eats. Because Alex, he eats like this. He grabs a handful of food and just throws it towards his face. If some of it goes in his mouth, some of it goes on the ground, some of it on his, doesn't matter. But eventually he gets full, and so does the dog. Like, if you ever watch him eat, he doesn't eat corn with a spoon. He just picks up a handful and shoves it in his mouth, and rice, and it's gross. But anyway, but the dog is sitting there waiting, and if one morsel of food hits the floor, the dog grabs it. And that's how I picture Mary. She was watching Jesus and waiting for all the goodness to just fall so she could have the drippings of the glory of God. And Mary was waiting on Jesus by seeing His physical needs and meeting them. She was a servant at heart, and so she was serving. The problem was that she took her eyes off of why she was serving and started looking at what she was serving. And so Jesus said, you should probably be more like Mary. Like, you should probably just chill out a little bit. Don't complain about Mary. She's doing the right thing right now. And so waiting on the Lord is definitely waiting for the morsels to drop, but also serving with our eyes on Jesus, remembering who we serve and why we serve, not just what we serve. So waiting on the Lord. Last week, if you weren't able to catch the live stream service from last week, we can put it on CD or DVD. We can get it to you. Just let us know. Let Quentin know. Let Kanani know. Don't let me know because I won't be here. But let one of them know that you need a copy of it so you can hear it or you can watch it. But we looked at the fact that we face times in the desert And we need to see that those times are meant for learning how to trust the Lord and how to see how He has provided so you can have confidence that He will continue to do so. We looked at how the children of Israel, God led them out of Egypt, and I talked in depth about this move out of Egypt and how God raised up Moses. Moses led them out, and He provided and provided and provided, and the glory of God was right there in front of them. And what did they do? They got hangry. They complained. They forgot all that He had done. They forgot all that He had been. They did not abide in Him and trust Him. Instead, they started to trust in their own strength. Well, they weren't able to deliver themselves from Egypt. They weren't able to part the Red Sea. They weren't able to destroy all of the Egyptian army. They were not able to provide manna from heaven. They were not able to provide a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the day. They were not able to do any of it. God was, but yet when the things got tough, they thought, well, I don't need to abide in God. Look at us. And even when Moses was on the mountaintop, learning from God, and all of the children of Israel were standing there looking at the mountain. They could see the glory of God in the cloud. They could hear the voice of God in the thunder. And they could see the power of God in the lightning. They stopped and thought, well, Moses must be dead. Let's build a cow. So they took what God had given them, the plunder of the Egyptians, what God had given them. They melted it down. They built a calf and they worshiped it. Because they refused to abide in the desert times, they were not able to receive the promise of the land flowing of milk and honey. And I started to do research. It took them 40 years to travel all of this distance. But in reality, if they traveled 1 mile a day and they were faithful to abide in Jesus, it would have only taken them 1 year and 16 days to travel that distance. 1 year and 16 days. If they traveled 1 mile a day, they would have been there in just over a year. Traveled 2 miles a day, less, obviously half than that. Just imagine what happens when we say, thank you, God, for all you've done, but I've got this. And so the Lord allows us to go through the desert times because we just can't trust in Him. We just can't rely on His strength. We have to stop and say, look what the Lord has done. Since He has done that, I know He will continue to do that. So since He hasn't failed me before, He's not going to fail me again. So I'm going to just keep moving and abiding in Him and trusting in Him. And no matter how far the desert trek is, I'm going to trust in Him and abide in Him. Because I guarantee if I start abiding in myself, the walk's going to be longer. The trip is going to be longer to the promises of God, the more we rely on ourselves and not abide in Him. So today we're going to look at what many consider the opposite of the desert experience. This is abiding on the mountain. And so I had to take my shoes off. And this sounds really funny, but my feet, I'm feeling like it's cool in here, but my feet were sweating so bad that it was gross. But anyway, just thought everybody would like to know. So nobody gets offended. I had to take my shoes off. But last week I talked about that we have the desert experiences, but I also refer to the fact that we have mountaintop experiences. Anybody here ever had a mountaintop experience with God? I'm talking church camp. And our youth just came back from breakaway not too long ago. Mountaintop experiences where you are so in with God that you just want to stay there forever. We've had prayer meetings here like this. We've had times of worship like this where the end of the song comes and we're like, no, just a little bit more. This is an extreme encounter with God on the mountaintop. So why does it go away? Why does it fade away? Why is it that after camp and breakaway, I'll tell you, every single year at the last day of camp, they say, who's going to commit to going home and radically changing your high school for the Lord? Who's going to go home and radically change your church and your home? Who's going to radically go change your job? Who's going to do all those things? That was me. And then I would get home and school would start. I'm like, oh, yeah, so this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Because somebody asked, what did I do this summer? I'm like, I went to church camp. And that was cool. Really, what happened? We played games, and, you know, we had this really cool guy from Washington that preached and stuff. But I never would actually take that step. Why? Because I felt like I was no longer on the mountain. So today we're going to talk about God on the mountain and how we can abide. Exodus 19:20 says this: "The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up." This is scripturally saying there are mountaintop times when God will call you and say, "Come up to the mountain with me. Come spend some time on the mountaintop with me." Mountaintop experiences are not a new thing. God ordained it with Moses. Just a few verses before this, God instructed him to come to the mountain and his glory would come down in a cloud and he, God, would speak. So let's just take a moment and imagine this with me. You're climbing a mountain knowing the glory of God will descend all around you in a physical presence like a cloud. And you're going to hear his voice in the thunder, and you're going to experience his power in the lightning. Now just imagine if God said, "Okay, now Amos, I want you to climb the mountain and be in my physical presence." You would be like, "Let's do this. Let's go." And God is saying, "I'm going to speak to you even more." Because I always found this interesting. God was speaking perfectly clear to Moses in the desert. Why did he call him up to the mountain? Well, because his glory was on the mountaintop and he had some things he needed to say to Moses. Now, originally he wanted the children of Israel to hear it all, but the children of Israel were like terrified. So Moses went up by himself. So Moses goes up this mountain to have an encounter with God. I think it would be amazing to know that God would be there. How many of you woke up this morning and said, "I'm going to go to church and have an encounter with God that I'm going to know he's there"? How many of you just woke up this morning and said, "God, I know you're here. I don't have to wait to get to church. I'm going to start worshiping you the moment I open my eyes. I'm going to put my feet on the floor and I'm going to worship you all day long. I'm going to have a mountaintop encounter with you today." Did anybody wake up like that this morning? John did. Doris pointing at John. Anybody else have that? Where you said, "Thank you, Jesus. It's Sunday. I'm going to have an encounter with you. I'm going to be in your presence and in your glory." First thing I thought of this morning was, "Dang, it's cold outside of these blankets." And then I thought, "Well, thank God for warm blankets." So I did thank God. And then I heard my son playing in the other room. "Well, thank you, God, that Alex is already awake. It's 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday. What is he doing awake already? He just couldn't sleep." But we start, and we start thinking, what if you knew? What if you all knew? What if God had told all of us as a church, "You show up to church today, it's gonna, my glory is going to settle like a thick cloud, and I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to rumble like thunder, and you're going to see my power in lightning." How many of you would say, "That's where I want to be"? Or how many of you would go, "I might want to catch that on Facebook, because that's a little intimidating, it's a little much"? But see, God was preparing Moses for the presence of his glory on the mountaintop. Abiding on the mountain. So the question is, what is the glory of God? Because this is what he was called to, was the glory cloud. According to the author John Piper, the glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. He goes on to say, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of his manifold perfections. It's the beauty of the holiness of God. That's what the glory of God is. The glory of the Lord is being engulfed in his holiness. That means we're being pushed to be consecrated and purified as we're in his presence. So Moses went up the mountain to receive more of the holiness of God. Glory is being in the pure presence of God. In order for it to be pure, it means it is a place of repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation, a place where sin cannot dwell. This means the glory of God is all about God. It's totally about God in his presence. Like a hot shower after a long, grimy day at work. But you don't want to get out of that warmth. I remember a few years ago, we had our youth retreat up at Wasserbahn, and John was one of our speakers. This was the most intense section of our whole youth retreat. It's the one that's referred to the most. But John said, reading the Bible and spending time in prayer is like taking a long, hot shower after a really long, busy, hardworking day. That's what you do. And you do that so that you don't carry the grime from today to tomorrow. And it's the same thing spiritually. This is what the glory of God is. It is saying, God, I've been overwhelmed by the world. Let me be purified, consecrated, and cleansed in your presence. It's like a warm shower after a long, hard-working day. That's what is happening here with Moses. Can I tell you something, though? God did not send the glory for Moses just to bask in it or to soak in it. I hear people say this all the time. I'm just going to turn on worship and just soak in the presence of God. But what does that actually do? What does that actually mean? You know, I used to do that. I'm going to soak in the presence of God. I'm going to listen to worship. I'm going to pray. And then I would go, now what? Now what do I do? I mean, Moses knew that God called him up here, and God did not say, hey, now, Moses, I just want you to sit back and relax, and I'm just going to let you soak and let you bask. I'm just going to let you enjoy my presence. Though the presence of God is enjoyable, the presence of God is cleansing. The presence of God, there's nothing that compares to it. But Moses did not go up there just so he could bask, just so he could feel God. Moses went up the mountain to learn from God and prepare for what was to come. Can I tell you, we don't spend time in the glory of God and in the presence of God. We don't spend time in worship so we can get warm fuzzies or just so we can be purified and consecrated, set apart for Him. We do it so we can be prepared to learn from Him and to move forward in Him. Moses didn't know how to lead the children of Israel because they had rebelled. Now God is calling up to the mountain saying, okay, here, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do. He didn't tell them, now just sit back and relax, I'll take care of them. He's saying, I'm going to instruct you on what you should do with them. But first, you got to be in my glory. First, you got to be purified and cleansed and consecrated. Exodus chapters 20 through 31, if you want to read them, there's a lot in there. It says, and it's all God talking to Moses, instructing him on how to worship, how to honor him, how to lead the children of Israel, how to build the tabernacle, how to approach God in the tabernacle, among so much more. It was Moses in the presence of God and God instructing him on the mountaintop. Moses was preparing to lead the people he was called to lead, and God was taking this time in his glory to instruct and empower him. Abiding on the mountain means that we're leading into God to prepare ourselves for what's to come with a learning spirit. But the reason it has to be purified and cleansed and consecrated first is because if we don't do that, our plans will always take first seat. And God's like, no, I need you to get rid of those plans. I want to be in the leader's seat, the driver's seat. I want to be the one to guide you. Something that's really interesting is I was reading through this, and I was reading through the book of Leviticus, and I was complaining one day because in my Bible reading I had gotten to Leviticus, and I was reading Leviticus every day. And I complained, I'm like, there's so much law, and there's so much this, and there's so much that. And he stopped me and said, do you understand that every word written in the book of Leviticus is God speaking? Do you understand that these chapters, Exodus 20 through 31, is God speaking to Moses? Like, it's literally being transcribed as the words of God spoken to us. And so it's important that we stop and we pay attention. God wasn't just saying, hey, Moses, go out and figure this out. He was saying specifically, even down to the detail of the color of the curtains in the tabernacle. Down to the lengths and measurements of everything that was to be brought into the tabernacle. Everything that God spoke to Moses was legitimate and was fully necessary. And we have to understand this. When God brings us up into His glory, which He invites us to be in His glory, when God brings us into that place, our ears have to be open and ready to learn, but our hearts have to be ready to do what God has called us to do. We have to be prepared. We have to be purified. We have to be cleansed and consecrated. Because the glory of God does not share with the presence of the enemy. It can't. I remember a couple years ago we were praying, God, let your glory fall, let your glory fall. And Peg one time said, Mark, I just have to, if the glory of God fell, how many of us would be killed because there's sin in our hearts and sin in our lives? Because that's what happened in the Old Testament. When the glory of God fell, so did everybody else. Because they couldn't stand in the presence of God. Now we have Jesus. who came to forgive us our sins, that we have to be continually in that spirit of repentance and spirit of fellowship with him so that our sins are not outweighed by his salvation. So we're not going to be crushed under the glory of God, but wouldn't it be horrible if the glory of God showed up and we were like, oh man, I wasn't prepared. I didn't repent. I did not prepare my heart. I did not get ready. I am not in a position where I can even learn from God because I am so wrapped up in, and then you fill in the blank. Glory of God. See, we don't have to climb a mountain to have this encounter with God. Nor do we have to wait to have a good day or experience to have this mountaintop encounter. You know what? One of my favorite things was after Breakaway, a couple months later, we were having church service. And it was when we lived in West Des Moines. And worship was just powerful. I don't remember what was going on, but worship was a powerful time. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to kneel before me. I'm like, you've got to be crazy. I am 16 years old. And I had my rebellious streak was very short-lived, and it wasn't very powerful. But anyway, I said, you've got to be crazy. I'm not going to do that. And the Lord said, I want you to kneel. I want you to do this. Just get with me. So I knelt down, and then before I knew it, I was just sobbing before the Lord. And I said, God, what is going on? He's like, I have some things I need to tell you. But I needed you to be obedient. I needed you to follow my voice. I needed to know you could hear me. And it was in that service that the Lord confirmed in me my ministry calling, confirmed in me so many different things. Now, for the next 2 years, I fought him against those things. I fought against those because I did not want to be in ministry. You all know my first passion in life was not to be a pastor. It is now. But back then, I wanted to be a famous singer. Y'all chuckle, but that was really my dream. Like, I auditioned for Star Search. Thank you very much. Yes, I did. But anyway, so it was one of those things where I made a VHS tape, and it was a good time. But anyway, but like, I was on a path, and the Lord told me, that is not where I'm sending you. And I said, but that's where I want to go. And that day, in that church service, he cemented in my mind and confirmed in me what was to come. And he said, I want you to learn from me, and I want you to get ready to go. So I Jonah'd that sucker, and I went the opposite direction. I applied for colleges on the East Coast because I knew he wanted me to go to the West Coast. I received a full scholarship to a college on Broadway that was going to take me there, and they were going to make me rich and famous. And then I did not apply for college at the Bible College, but I got an acceptance letter from them. I thought, well, this is really weird. And so one day, I sat down with a friend, and I'm like, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And she's like, it was just funny because she was not a believer. She said, well, what do you think God wants you to do? I'm like, first of all, he wants me to smack you. Like, and I said, I think he wants me to go out west. She's like, so don't go east. So I went west. But you know, if God hadn't put me on the carpet that day, on my knees before him, if I hadn't separated myself and been put into that moment of glory with him, my life would be totally different. My life would be a total, I can guarantee this, my life would be a total wreck because every decision I wanted to do on the East Coast was in rebellion to what God wanted me to do on the West. Everything God was calling me to do, I wanted to go the opposite direction. So my life today would be a disaster if I had gone the direction that my mind wanted to go. See, we don't have to climb the mountain. Because we have the Holy Spirit here. That is the full embodiment of the glory of God. See, the glory of God isn't some far-off, distant place. The glory of God isn't a cloud anymore. It's not thunder and lightning, though that would be incredible to see. The glory of God is when the Holy Spirit erupts in you, and he encompasses about you. See, when the Holy Spirit comes in us and we start to feel conviction, that's him saying, oh, time to clean house. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and he starts to speak into our minds and starts to tell us, you know, this is what this means. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. When the glory of God settles upon us, that it's actually the Holy Spirit ministering in us and through us. See, because Scripture goes on to say, Jesus says, let me open it up here. In John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So that mountaintop experience, that Moses had is now the Holy Spirit rising up within us to teach us and remind us to prepare us for what is to come. Isn't that something? That we don't have to go to a specific place. You didn't have to come to church this morning to spend time in worship. We're glad you did. Scripture says we should gather together. But the Holy Spirit started working on your heart. Some of you, even in your dreams, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you in your dreams. You want to abide on the mountain? You must abide in the Holy Spirit. You must acknowledge His presence and pray that the Lord would have the Holy Spirit guide your steps, your thought life, your prayer life, your conversation, what you see and what you hear. You need the Holy Spirit to be with you always so that no matter where you are learning all things that Jesus is so you can become more like Him. Our goal as believers is not just to believe, it's to become more and more like Him as we are His disciples. In order to be more and more like Him as His disciples, we have to be abiding in the mountain. In the glory of God. In that ever-present Spirit. You want to know what God has in store? Abide in the Spirit. You want to reach the world around you? Abide in the Spirit. You want to draw closer to the Lord? Abide in the Spirit. Reaching the mountaintop with God is not a goal to attain, but a place to abide so you can continue to gain wisdom to live this life. Jesus says we should have life in abundance. Well, you can't have life in abundance if you don't have life that's abiding. You just can't have it. Scripture tells us to call on Him and He will be with us. James 1:5 tells us, any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you needs learning, if any of you need discernment, if any of you need to know what you should do, ask Him and then abide in Him. Allow the glory of God to rest in you and teach you. I love this part where it says, who gives generously without finding fault. You know, I was a fault finder. I could tell you who was worthy and who was not worthy, mostly because of my own unworthy position. I was able to start telling people, you're not really worthy. Look at this sin in your life. Look at this. And this scripture really changed me quite a bit because James says, if you really want to know the thoughts of God and you really want to have wisdom on what you should do, ask Him. And He's not going to look at the faults in your life. He's going to pour out generosity on you in wisdom. Because here's what happens when you're generously abundant in the Holy Spirit. He begins to throw out the things that are unwise. And He begins to change the way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you live, the way that you act. I love the fact that God doesn't look at us and find our faults. But instead He brings the Holy Spirit that removes the faults and replaces them with His perfection. That's what happens when we abide on the mountaintop. When we abide in the glory of God. Cannot be taught by God if you're not abiding in Him. And you know, in that time while Moses was abiding on the mountain, he was given the Ten Commandments. That even though the government around the world refused to give them credit, the Ten Commandments are still the base for all the laws in our world. They're still the basis. So it wasn't even that God just gave instruction to Moses. God gave instruction to Moses. Moses came down and gave instruction to the Israelites. The Israelites then lived according to those instructions. It's been passed down and passed down and passed down. So every law in our world is based on this conversation that God had with Moses on Mount Sinai. Everything in our world is based off of that conversation. But Moses had to first be purified, consecrated, and abide. It would have been a shame if Moses just went up the mountain to bask and soak and not actually learn anything or have a purpose to come back down. It would be a shame if Moses didn't take time to prepare while he was in the presence of God. If he was just selfishly looking at, ooh, the glory cloud of God, I'm going to go spend time in that so I can just bask and then I'm going to live my life. Wouldn't that just be a shame? Isn't it a shame that there are many who walk through this life with the Holy Spirit abiding in them and calling them to deeper relationship, and rather than taking what they're learning and rather than preparing others for the path of God, they're saying, well, at least my relationship with God is good. At least I'm going to make it to heaven. Well, I have good thoughts for them, but that's their life and I'm going to let them live their life. No. We have to learn His word so we can prepare. Our world is like on a warpath to hell. Many people are now just saying, well, God isn't real. And these are people who have been in the church or in pastoral positions or missionaries or evangelists. They're just coming out and saying, by the way, this whole God thing, totally not real. Why? Because when they're spending time in the glory of God, they're spending time for themselves and not for Him, not to learn and not to prepare. We have to be learning from Him and preparing so we can start leading more and more people to Him. Our life is not meant to be lived selfishly. See, all wisdom comes from the Lord. This is Proverbs 2, 6 through 8 in the CEV. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. God gives helpful advice to everyone who obeys Him and protects all of those who live as they should. God sees that justice is done, and He watches over everyone who is faithful to Him. This is a promise for those that abide, who focus on Jesus. Anticipating what He will do, they will gain wisdom in the Lord through that Holy Spirit. Once we abide in Him, the Holy Spirit gives us that wisdom, teaches us and trains us in the very words of Jesus. Katie, will you come and just start to pray? God is so faithful, but we can't stop approaching His glory. See, Jesus used this same model. When Jesus traveled in the highways and byways, He would bring people up to the side of the mountain so He could instruct them. He would bring them up to a place. Matthew 5, 1 through 2 says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them. Jesus would lead people to a place where they could learn from Him. Following the scriptures where Jesus tells the greatest sermon of all time, tells them how to be blessed, how to give, how to pray, how to fast, how to serve. He calls them to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He instructs them on the Ten Commandments and how they can love one another. See, Jesus followed the example that God gave and said, let's go up to the mountain. I want to teach you some things and I want to prepare you for what's to come. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. Come away with me. I want to give you some mountaintop time. I want to be the manifest glory of God in your life. I want you to be learning from me. And I want to prepare you for what's to come. That's what abiding on the mountain does. When I was writing this sermon this week, it was really like my conviction was going crazy because here I was trying to anxiously map out what my trip was going to be to Costa Rica. I was anxiously trying to figure out everything that had to be done here. I was anxiously, and the Lord said, can you just sit and be quiet so I can teach you some things so you can be prepared? I said, well, I guess if that's what you want. So I don't have this bet down pat. I don't have this perfected. I'm a living example of what can happen when you're a stubborn person, but yet God can speak to you and tell you to just be quiet and allow His presence to come in and teach you and prepare you. This is where we should be. We can abide in Him in the desert, and we can watch His hand continually move, and we can trust in Him. But since we've got that trust in Him, we need to sit and we need to listen and learn from Him. Now, obviously, the fastest way to learn about God and learn His word is to open His word and pray. But not just open His word and read it and spend time in prayer, but to start to study. Say, God, what are you saying in this? Holy Spirit, when I open my word, I say this, Holy Spirit, tell me what this says. As I'm reading it, suddenly a word will jump out and I feel like the Lord is saying, I need you to know this, learn this, and then stay with me. Stay with me. Do you know how much stronger our lives would be if we could learn this very thing, that we can be abiding in God all the time? His Holy Spirit constantly teaching us new things. His Holy Spirit constantly preparing us for what is to come. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit will tell us to close our mouths and open our ears and open our eyes so we can hear what's being said, so we can see what's being done, so we know how to pray, so we know how to guide, so we know how to walk in the wisdom that He provides. Abide in the mountain. Abide in His Spirit. Abide in the place of learning. abide in the place of preparing. Jesus would lead people there to challenge them to live out his word and to abide in his word. That they could take the glory with them, that they could take the mountaintop encounter with them and change their worlds. So let's just get really real for a couple of minutes. Anybody here need some answers from God, but yet you haven't really found yourself abiding in him? You haven't really found yourself sitting and listening so you can learn, or are you sitting in the presence of God just so you can feel better? I get stuck in that too. So I'm not pointing fingers and saying you're doing something that I'm not doing. I'm just saying, is this our routine? That we come so we can just experience God, or are we coming so we can be empowered and learn from him and prepare? Is there anybody who's really needing some wisdom in situations in life? No matter how long you think about it, no matter how many times you write it out on paper and you get it all figured out, if it's not what God wants to happen, it's not going to work. So put your pencil and paper down and spend time with God. Open his word, spend time in prayer, and abide. Scripture says he's not going to find fault, but you got to ask him for wisdom, then you got to sit there and learn so you can prepare. Anybody needs strength just to make it another day? Anybody know you're facing a desert that you're going to need the strength to walk through it? Because here's the story. Moses didn't just come down off the mountain, learn all these things, teach all these things, then they walk to the promised land. This was still way before anybody ever reached the promised land. He knew there was more desert time ahead of him. He knew that God was going to lead him through some harder times. But he was prepared so that when the desert came, he could abide. He could stay with God. So let's close our eyes this morning. What about you? Are you in that place where you know some desert times are ahead? Or maybe you're in the desert and you're saying, hey, listen, I need to abide in the desert. I could use some time on the mountaintop. And just let me just tell you right now, God can move in the desert or the mountaintop. He doesn't need a specific place or a time. He just needs you to be ready. So if today you're saying, I need some answers from Jesus. I need that Holy Spirit to rise up in me, and I've got, you name it, going on. I need some wisdom. If that's you and you're saying, I just need to learn some stuff. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to start teaching me some words of Christ. I just want you to put your hands up. If you need some wisdom in some situations, you need some guidance on how you should live this life, you need some empowering, some learning, and some preparation for what's to come. Yeah. Hands up all around the room. Hands up all over the place. So Heavenly Father, you see your kids. God, I pray that all of us can feel the glory of your presence within us. Purify us, consecrate us, set us apart, and then, Lord God, teach us your ways. Teach us so we can walk in your ways, Lord God. Prepare our feet and prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for what is to come, so that no matter what comes our way, we will not leave abiding in your presence, but instead we will go that much deeper. Lord God, grant wisdom without finding fault. Lord, we thank you that you don't look upon us and see all of our faults. You see all the places where you get to embed your spirit within us. So Jesus, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will just wash over us. Lord God, we want to see the glory. We want to feel the presence, but more than anything, Lord God, we need to know that you abide in us and us in you. Jesus, be the center of our lives, so we can in turn be in the center of your will. Prepare us, Lord, to walk through what is to come, and give us strength to go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing through this chorus of Oh Praise the Name. And for this, what I want you to do is, if that was you and you're saying, I need that glory of God to erupt in my life, I need to open myself up to learn, I don't want anybody like running out of here and we're not done. spent a moment or two just saying, God, cement that in me, that I can walk in the wisdom of your glory and your presence, starting now. So let's sing this up, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Let's sing one more time of praise. As we move downstairs to our meeting, to this meal together, Lord, I pray that our conversation glorifies your name and edifies your body. Lord, grant us wisdom as we continue to move forward, doing what you believe you called us to do and being who your scripture says we should be. God, we pray for the lost. Lord God, we are not afraid and ashamed to speak your loving truth to them. Calling on the name of the Lord for the salvation of souls. Be our strength. Empower us, Lord, as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're all invited downstairs. If you're a member or if you're not, please come down. Crystal made a whole bunch of food, so come down and eat with us.